Let's continue right on into chapter 9. We'll read the first four verses of that because we're having the same subject right on through here now. For as touching the ministry of the saints, it is superficious for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Least happily, perhaps, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that is to say, not ye, but we, should be ashamed in the same confidence of boasting, confident boasting. The noun used here for superfluously should be superadded, would be a better word, really, because Paul felt that perhaps they didn't need any more encouragement, as this was an added encouragement, but nevertheless there was a little doubt in his mind concerning their zeal. So he sent the brethren ahead of time to see that they were ready. If any of the Macedonian saints should happen to go with Paul and find that they were not ready or hadn't done anything at all, he would be ashamed of his boasting, that he boasted of them. Verse 5, read, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort you, brethren, that they would go before you and make up beforehand your bounty. Therefore, ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of as of covetousness. So he sent those brethren before so that they could make sure that everything was ready when Paul got there. And he might have some saints at Macedonia that he would have been boasting to about the saints in Corinth. So after much thought, Paul told those who went before what to look for. They had already made a promise that they needed to see that it had been carried out. The word here for bounty is interesting, and it should be blessings, referring to the gift of love. Now this is what it should be, and not as something taken against their desire. It wasn't that Paul wanted them to feel like they were being robbed, but that the fact that they wanted to do this. They wanted to keep, otherwise, not as covetousness would read. In other words, that they didn't want to keep it for themselves. This would be a covetous. I give it, but I really want to keep it for myself. Covetousness is idolatry. Money would be an idol in that case. Verses 6 through 10, to this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. It is, as it is written, he that's dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown and increased in the fruit of your righteousness. Don't think that when you give, all is gone. A lot of people think that. But blessings come in return. Now this isn't like some preach. There was one evangelist had the thought of a horn of plenty, and others have the poverty gospel that you give and give and give, and God will give you more than you put in. So covetousness says, let me give. I'll get more back than I put in. That is what we're talking about. in any way. And another thought that I had along this line, too, is we don't give in order to get at all. This isn't our motive whatsoever. We give because we love. And notice another thing. People talk about giving, and they say, well, Paul encouraged giving. And so the evangelist gets up, and he spends 30 minutes on taking up an offering. And they say, well, Paul taught it that way. But this isn't what Paul taught. Paul taught wasn't telling them to give to him. He was telling them to give to the poor saints in Jerusalem. Not to him. This wasn't a covetous thing whatsoever. There's a Proverb 22:9, and it reads, he that hath bountiful eyes shall be blessed, and he that giveth his bread to the poor. These are the people that's going to be blessed. Bountiful eye. I want it to abound. I want it to give. And then another one I jotted down here in Psalms 41, the first three verses. It says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, that he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him to the will of his enemy. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing, and that will make all his bed in his sickness. So the Lord is going to bless those who bless. And sometimes people will come short because they are covetous hearted and don't want to give. All right, verses 11 through 15. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supply the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving to God. While by the experience of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, subjection to the gospel, and for your liberal distribution of them, and unto all men, and by their prayers for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, being rich in everything. This is a process. I can't think of what I want to say now. I think it's an active, present active participle, what that would be. Being enriched in everything. The riches of God has given you is not for the purpose of you living in luxury and self-gratification or sensual enjoyment. But the things that God gives us, the blessings that he pours out upon us, both spiritual and natural riches, therefore the distributing to others and helping others, whether spiritual or natural, they're blessings of God. And they're both to be used while in this mortal body. And according to the will of God, all these blessings, if they're poured through us. You know, when water goes into something and there's no outlet, what does that water become? Stagnant and stinky. Oh, we don't want your blessings poured in and have no outlet, do we? Our life becomes the same way. So they serve for two reasons. One, to help others, saints, and to give God honor and glory among other saints. Their gift is not only compelling, filling up the shortcomings of the saints in other places, but those saints are there to praise God that their shortcomings is being filled up. And somebody that gives might say, well, I want to praise me for it. I'm the one that gave. No, we want to praise God for it, don't we? For what's giving and not us. In verse 13, we read that the proof that their gift was that the receiver glorified God because of the obedience of the gospel of Christ. Or we might say the good news concerning Christ that they had acknowledged, that they had received the love of Christ. And when we give, it's because of our love for the truth. It's because of our love for Christ. And when we give, everybody's rejoicing in our giving. And the benefit of the saints will cause them to pray for us. And I think prayers are more valuable than money, are more valuable than any gift we could give. Oh, I tell you, we give some, give them so much, and they pray for us. And I'm getting more than I give. And I think that's so good. He said, longing after you. Because, I copied this out of the Greek text. I thought this was good. Longing after you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Unmeasurable grace that comes over on us. In all this, God and Christ are honored. And all cry out, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Everybody is praising the Lord that he gave first. In James 1:17, we read, every good gift and every perfect gift that comes from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Christ is the gift of God's unbounded love to man. That love produces unspeakable joy when we give with supernatural grace. So in going over this, I wrote down here four things done when we give in obedience to God's will. One, the needs of the saints are being supplied when we give, and that's wonderful. Two, thanksgiving is rendered to God when we give. Three, the receiving of the gift would then give proof of their subjection to the gospel. You want me to prove that I love the gospel? Well, here's my outward proof of it. I give. You can't prove it any other way. And fourth, the prayers of the receiver will ascend up to God in the behalf of the giver. And we how good it is to have God's blessings as others pray for us. And we could find a lot of scriptures along this line too. We'll let it go with that. Anybody have any comments? I wanted to add to that we don't give to everybody that comes knocking on our door wanting a handout. This isn't what we're talking about. There's a lot of moochers that come and knock on the door and wants money. We don't just hand out to that. These are giving. We're talking about giving to the poor saints that was in a drought, and they were hungry. They needed something. And there are certain circumstances where people have a need. Now, people are lazy, and the Bible talks a lot about slothfulness. People are lazy and won't work. And Paul said that if a man won't work, he don't eat. And a man that won't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. But we're talking about people that are legitimate need because of things happen in their life, and we know they have a need. And I remember one time a man knocked on the door, and he said, I haven't eaten for 3 days. I need some money to go get something to eat. And I said, well, don't have much money. And Roberta just taken a big roast out of the oven, and I said, make this man a sandwich. So she made a sandwich and brought it out with a glass of milk. He took one bite out of the sandwich and left. Now, if that man hadn't eaten for 3 days, he would have almost inhaled that sandwich. There's so many moochers out there, and this isn't what we're talking about in this. We just don't just give to everybody that comes along. Mm-hmm.